I'm just feeling very blessed to have Scott with us in our fellowship. Those of you who do not know, Scott is a fourth-year student at Rocky Mountain College, and he is doing his internship here, and we have really grown to appreciate Scott, and he is learning all the ropes. He spent a lot of time working with our youth, and he's going to start doing a little bit more preaching and getting various experiences, and so we're thrilled to have him with us again. And he'll be preaching once a month now for a while, as he's going to do his own little series when it's his turn. And I really appreciate that God has sent us Scott and Rosie. We just think we're really blessed to have them. So, you know what? Let's get the jitters out of him. Give him a round of applause. Thank you for coming. And,
well, thank you very much. Claire's home is more and more feeling like it's home to us, I think. And we were actually gone last week to Breakforth, Rosie and I. And then I went with Pastor Art to a pastor's retreat. So I've been gone for the past week or so. And it's nice to kind of have a home and a community that you love to go back to. So I guess thanks to you guys at that. At Breakforth, I'm just going to give you a few pieces from what's happened. In Breakforth, I just wanted to say that I graduated into a new category of old guy. I really didn't want to do. I love loud music, like I do, and I love like feeling the notes like pounding through my body. But after the whole weekend of this, like, it's so loud, and I wore earplugs, and so yeah, it wasn't easy, but I did it. And then yeah, we got back on Sunday, and then Monday morning, we drove up to Gull Lake for a pastor's retreat for the denomination. And the only thing I want to mention, it was really good, and there was this consistent theme that kept coming up with all, like, because all the pastors, they know everybody, and I was kind of the new guy, and I was being introduced to them, and it was just the same theme kept coming up, and it was like, they would all be like, so seriously, like, actually, like, be honest with me, I want to know the truth. What is it actually like to work with this guy? Like, so many people did that. And he's here right now, so I'm not going to say how I responded. But so, as Pastor said, I'm going to do a series over the next few months. And it's on Jonah. And so today I'm going to do it with Jonah chapter 1. And I just want to start with, I'm going to kind of ask two questions that I think are going to kind of guide us through this chapter. And the first one is, where is God? Where is he in tragedies? Where is he in the suffering? For me sometimes, it's where is God, like when I'm sitting on the couch watching the Super Bowl? And I don't feel very holy, you know, I feel very just human and not godly, or just things like that, right? Where is God? And another question is, what does he want from us? And so as we go through Jonah, I want to look at those things. So I'm going to start with verse 1 and just read the first few verses. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." I think I love Jonah because he makes me feel good about myself whenever I read that. And I just wanted to share another little story from going to Breakforth. We went with the Vandervalks, with Pat and Gerald and Joel. And on the way up to Breakforth, I had a discussion with mostly with Pat. And it was about women in ministry. And she advised me not to talk about this in this sermon. So don't worry, I'm not going to talk about her conclusions. But basically, I said my point, and Pat, using her motherly tone, that kind of gave her an advantage. But I came to the realization that my argument wasn't actually very valid, and it wasn't that good. But my point from that is that as Christians, we love to just debate stuff like that, don't we? Like, we love to discuss all those smaller topics that, you know, some might say they're very clear, but others say they're not clear, but we all know what passages we're talking about, so, but I know for me, like, I just love to discuss those things. And I rarely hear Christians arguing over passages like Matthew 28 and verse 18, where he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." I'll say that again. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Things like that, you know, like, it doesn't get much more clear than that, right? Like, I don't need to pretend to know Greek to convince you that Jesus wants us to go and make disciples. And I think one of those reasons is because we're afraid. And actually, at Breakforth, a very popular speaker, Francis Chan, who he wrote, he's an author and everything, he also talked about how afraid he is to share his faith. And it's true, isn't it? Like, a lot of us, we hate sharing our faith. It's not something to be proud of, really, but it's the truth. But I think Satan loves it when we argue over those little things, and we argue about the small stuff, and then we forget to do the clear stuff that he's called us to. We're so focused on the little things. And but why are we afraid? I pray to God and I say, you know, why am I so terrified to share my faith? Like, why do I hate telling people about it? And I think there's many different reasons for many different people. But I think one of the main ones for me, besides kind of being shy and kind of not wanting to interrupt people's lives, I think one of the answers can be found in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." It's foolishness. "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And he goes on to say, "Jews demand miraculous signs, Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." And so, like, I think one of the main reasons I'm scared to share my faith with people is because it sounds stupid. And Paul says right here, it actually is kind of stupid. Like, what God did was totally turn our wisdom upside down so that it sounds ridiculous. And to those who believe in Christ, it is the power of God. And so it's okay if you feel like you're a little silly or whatever telling people about that. But the fact of the matter is, we have been given a call. And it's very clear. I thought some of the farmers would enjoy this quote, and everybody else. But Francis Chan, he wrote this book called Crazy Love, and in it he says, "Christians are like manure. Keep them together, and they're a smelly pile of, you know what. But spread them out, and they make things grow." thought that was really cool. Jonah had a call. He had a clear call, and he knew it, and he ran away from it. Can anybody here relate to that? So I'm gonna. This is practical point number one. You're only gonna get two, so you gotta pay close attention to this. And I call it practical because it's really simple. I don't call it intelligent point number one. It's called practical point number one. We need to be making disciples. We need to be telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is not an option. That's not something that we should be debating about. That's clear. Let's start doing that. I was in the shower this morning, and for some reason this weird thought popped in my head. And I was also, because sometimes when I come up here, I feel kind of inadequate to speak. And the thought in my head came about how God, in Numbers 22, how he spoke through a donkey. And God's like, if I can speak through a donkey, I can speak through you, right? So be encouraged. God can speak through donkeys. And so I want to continue and read the rest of Jonah chapter 1. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will notice. Take notice of us, and we will not perish." Just a side note, I just love when things in the Old Testament remind me of stories in the New Testament. But anyway, that's not my point, so I'm going to keep going. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." And this terrified them. And they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. What I want to share with you today isn't actually directly the direct meaning of this passage. I don't know if pastors are allowed to do that. But I believe it's an underlying message that is all throughout scriptures, and that God really spoke to me as I was reading this. And so I guess what I want to start off by asking you, have you ever done something wrong and felt like God was after you? Sometimes people, like, they'll do bad on a test or something bad will happen to them, and they'll think, "Oh, maybe I didn't read my Bible enough this week, maybe God's just trying to get at me." Or some of you, you come to church today, maybe, because you feel like life hasn't been going so good, so maybe God's trying to get at you and saying, punishing you for not going to church, so you came to church today. Some of you, maybe you haven't been making disciples, and I've made you feel bad, and you think that God's mad at you. I don't know. But I have good news for you today. Because the truth is, God is out to get you. He's out to get your family and your loved ones. He's out to get the community of Clarence Home. He's out to get the world. God is out to get you. He has always been, He is right now, He will always be out to get you. You know, the truth is, from the very beginning of time, you know, just think of Adam, like, mankind has been running from God. They've been rejecting what God has offered them, and they've been going the other direction. And the entire scripture, as you look through it, is God chasing after His creation, trying to bring them back to Him and saying, I want you. I'm never going to give up. I'm going to pursue you. And the thought crossed my mind, is that not the gospel? In Romans 5:8, he says, But God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While man was still running away, still doing their own thing, Christ died for us. The good news is that we are incapable of getting to God because Christ has made a way for Him to get to you and me. The good news is that God is here, people. He's in our homes. He's in our schools. And He desires to be in relationship with you, and that He always has and always will pursue you, and He will hunt you down, and He will be everywhere you go until you give in. God loves you so much. He's in our schools. He's in our hospitals. He's in the government. He's even in the churches down the street. You can't escape it. I always pray sometimes, you know, God, go with me as I go to this place. Or sometimes I pray, God, go with them. And I know what people are usually getting at when they say that, but it's kind of ironic when you think that, you know, we can't not go with God. And so I've been trying to, as I pray, sometimes think more in terms of, you know, God, help me recognize Your presence as I go. Help me realize that You are with me. Help them, as my family travels here, help them to see You. In Psalm 139, it says, where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me, Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to You. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to You. Sometimes I feel like I need to get God's attention. Like I'm the one that has to work for it. I've noticed at Breakforth and at a lot of conferences that a lot of the popular preachers these days, they all have ADD. And they always mention that. They're like, that's why I'm jumping around, because I have ADD. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, man, God, why can't You just give me ADD and then I'd be a better preacher? Because It's sometimes, you know, we're in a culture where ADD is kind of almost becoming a norm though. And it's hard to keep your attention for a lot of you. Not everybody, in the morning, I make bird sounds. And I make like funny sound. I jump around and I just do these things. And like Rosie does not have ADD because I cannot get, she won't budge. And the harder I try, the more sounds I make, the more like stiff she gets. And she won't like, this is not about you. But we have God's attention. And I want to read a quote from A.W. Tozer that I've been reading. And he says, God is here. The whole universe is alive with His life. and he is no strange or foreign God, but the familiar Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose love has for these thousands of years enfolded the sinful race of man. And always he is trying to get our attention, to reveal himself to us, to communicate with us. We have within us the ability to know him if we will but respond to his overtures. And this we call pursuing God. We will know him in increasing degree as our receptivity becomes more perfect by faith and love and practice. We don't need to get God's attention. We need to start giving our attention to God. He's waiting. He's already here. He just wants us to recognize him. Practical point number two. This is all there is. So you got to make sure you get this one. God is pursuing you and you cannot escape. And you will not escape. So give in. Stop running. Eventually, Jonah realized that his running was in vain. Kind of by force. It's not like he has anything to brag about. But he found himself in a situation where there's nowhere to go. And so finally, Jonah surrendered. And some people here have been running for a very, very long time, and you don't even know it. But I guarantee you that God has been pursuing you. You are here today because God has been pursuing you. He has been calling you, and he desires to be in a relationship with you. And some here have been running from God, and you full well knew that you were. I've done that many times. And we're kind of like the Jonas, and Jonah makes us feel good about ourselves, but the truth is, that's not what it's about, right? We've been given a call. And some of you have embraced it, and you are out, and you are making disciples. I just want to encourage you to continue to share your stories and to continue to encourage those of us who struggle to do it. Because it's exciting when we hear about what people are doing and how people are sharing the gospel. And just continue to encourage those around you in doing that. And I just want to encourage you today that God is here and he is pursuing you and he always has, always will. And Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." See, for those of us who are kind of scared, God doesn't say, "Go make disciples. You're on your own now." He says, "I am with you." I counted roughly how many times that phrase, "I am with you," is in the Bible. And in the Old and New Testament, it's in there 21 times where God says, "I am with you. Don't be afraid." And to finish, I just want to read a prayer that A.W. Tozer put in the same book that he used. And I would like that to be our prayer today. And I just want to encourage you. God is here. He's in your home. He is with or without your prayers, he's pursuing your loved ones that maybe don't know God. He wants them to come to him just as much as you want them. And so, I would just like to pray this. O God and Father, I repent of my sinful preoccupation with visible things. The world has been too much with me. Thou hast been here, and I knew it not. I have been blind to thy presence. Open my eyes, that I may behold you in and around me. For Christ's sake. Amen.